on the Sabbath. And let me put the study up. Hold on. Where is the old study? There it is. There she is. How do you get rid of the ribbon? I don't think I could with that. Okay. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Ah, Shabbat Shalom. Anyway, we are One of Messiah congregation, and we'll ask the Lord to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, first we ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, anything that's displeasing to you, Father. Knowing that this is your day, and I ask you for forgive me for anything I did wrong today, and may God always have mercy upon us. We don't try to do things presumptuously. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this Sabbath. May God bless everyone today. May God bless the singing we do or the food that we eat. May God bless the study and take it to heart. May God, I just thank God for brothers and sisters around the world and here. And may God show me more this coming week where to get more brothers and sisters, because I'm going to pursue it, Father. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day. And I thank God for another Shabbat, and thank God for you. And may God heal you and touch you and strengthen you. May God always give you faith and wisdom and understanding and the fear of God. And may God give us love for each other and the love for the brothers and sisters. And I just thank God that we're even alive in this century to proclaim the truth in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Well, here we are on Maple Street. In a place called Hole in Wall, Tennessee. The video is not working. Oh, let me check the video real quick. Oh, okay. Anyway, we're in Hole in Wall, Tennessee, a place I never heard of, but here we be. And there's my phone numbers. There's our email. There's our website. And let's see, we're in the month of May now. And unfortunately, May stands for the Italic goddess of spring. That's pretty horrible. That's what May is, Maya. And the daughter of Funus, or whatever you say that, the wife of Vulcan. And that's not from Star Trek. Okay, but that's what May comes, the little word May that we use every time it shows up. That's really weird, isn't it? That's really where it's from. It's from this pagan goddess. Today is May 4th, in the 2019, in the 21st century. But God has his own calendar. And we're in the 28th day of Nisan. And that's just about over. This coming Monday evening starts Zif, which means brightness. And we'll be getting together for that if you'd like to, if you want to, if you don't have to show up. But I mean, it is a new moon, so we'd like to get together, show God that we understand. And that's found in 1 Kings 6:1. There's the little word Ziph right there, that little red thing. It's pretty. Can you guys see that? I'll make it bigger if you can. Okay. For your convenience, my server is still running back there. You can read the studies, you can listen to them, you can watch them, you can hear them. And so anyway, that's all being accomplished back there. Well, today's study is our seven-week journey again, spiritually speaking. And this always takes place even in the Bible. But it's just amazing. We just went through from becoming from slaves in Egypt or from our last lives of sin to the people of God. And but the 7 weeks in the future, Lord willing, if we're still alive, it's the giving of the law again, the commandments, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. And so we were told to count seven Sabbaths, not Omers. I know most of the world is counting an Omer right now, and most of the world has no idea what that even is. An Omer is a sheaf of barley. You know, I don't think anyone has any sheaves of barley. That I don't think I've met anybody that has a sheaf of barley. Have you? But people are counting that today. They're counting the Omer. Try to understand that. That just means they follow the wrong leader. Follow, you know, And if you follow the, you know, the Bible says if you follow the wrong one, he falls in the pit, you'll go right after him. Anyway, so it says, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought in the sheaf of the wave offerings. We're going to count 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. And today is the first of the 7 Sabbaths. And so the question is, how will you be behaving these 50 days, physically and spiritually? That's an important question. Because, you know, you notice right in the Bible, after God delivered him from Pharaoh, and he opened the Red Sea, and, you know, all this great stuff, and then Miriam singing, and everyone singing, and just like, it's just like a real amazing thing. After triumphing gloriously, we read chapter 16 of Exodus. It says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, which is 14 days. You know, when we enter Ziph, that's going to be 14 days later. It says, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they forgot about God, and they murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. We don't like you leaders. And the children of Israel said unto them, we would to God we had died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, where we came from, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. That's pretty horrible. Then said Jehovah unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that it may prove you whether they will walk in my law or no. And it came to pass that on the 6th day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even then you shall know that Jehovah had brought you out from the land of Egypt, not me. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of Jehovah, for he God hears your murmurings against Jehovah. And what are we that you murmur against us? That's the way I feel too. I feel the same way. I didn't do anything. And Moses said, this shall be when Jehovah shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For Jehovah hears your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we that you murmur against us? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Jehovah. So some people, you know, they go, what did you bring us here for? What do we got to do here? Why are we here? I don't know. Your murmurings are not against me. I didn't decide this. Some people like to go back to their Egypt, where they came from, and God wants to bring them forward in their lives. But they don't like to go forward in their lives. They like to go backwards. And that's why nothing really is accomplished. Anyway, and Moses said unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Jehovah. He hears your murmurings. They keep repeating this because no one, even if you're way in the back of that, they had like over 1 million people there. So if you're the one way in the back, you think you're hiding, God still hears your murmurings. And it came to pass, wait a minute. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Jehovah appeared in a cloud. And Jehovah said unto Moses, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. You shall know that I am Jehovah your God. But you didn't know it when I opened the Red Sea. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, a upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost of the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is man," or in the English, manna. But they didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is bread which Jehovah had given you to eat. And this is the thing which Jehovah had commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of the of your persons, take you every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave it until the morning." But of course, there's always the few. "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some said, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, "This is that which Jehovah had said, not me. Tomorrow is the holy, is the rest of the holy Shabbat unto Jehovah." That's what we've got to remember. It's God's Sabbath. And if God doesn't want us to do something, he'll let us know, but nothing's going to really stop us because he's with us. "Bake that which you have baked today, and seat that which you have seated, that which remains overlay up for you to be kept until the morning." They laid it up till the morning, and Moses bade, and did, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Shabbat unto Jehovah. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." And it came to pass that there went out some people on the seventh day. Of course, there's always a few. "There went out some people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none." And Jehovah said unto Moses, "How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws?" See, for Jehovah had given you the Shabbat. Therefore, he had given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man or person in his place, and let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So finally, the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof man. In Hebrew, it's man, but in English, they put manna for some reason. And it was like coriander seed, which we were looking up today, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, it was like something probably really delicious, I bet. And Moses said, "This is the thing which Jehovah commanded, fill you an omer of it, to be kept for your generations." It's going to be a witness against them. "That they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." So God had to give them, put a piece of some of that bread into the tabernacle there. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of haman or manna therein, and lay it up before Jehovah to be kept for your generations." There's that word man right there. That's what it looks like in the Hebrew. There's a mem and a final nun. And there it is. So, it means, what is it? That's what they said. So God fed them with this stuff for 40 years. As Jehovah commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land. Amen. The land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, omer is a tenth part of an ephah, which doesn't help you a lot. So you might think, how in the world can they do this after having a victorious God opening? I mean, we can't even imagine what splitting a Red Sea is and all your enemies getting destroyed. They forgot about the whole thing. It says, chapter 17, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings, according to the commandment of Yehovah, and pitched in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. So instead of going, oh, Moses, you know, my family and the animals, we need to give them some water. Could you show us where the water is? Could you ask God to supply us some water, you know, in a humble way? The people, they strove and contended. That's what that word chide means. What Moses said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto him, what are you chiding with me for? Whether do you tempt Yehovah? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that you brought us out of the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? What do we got to, I mean, I don't know. When God told Abraham to take off and go into a place that he didn't know, that's what that reminds me of. But it's the opposite. You notice somebody's coming in, Carrie. The opposite is Moses didn't, I should say Abraham didn't complain. See what the guy wants. I don't know. See if he wants to keep the Sabbath. Oh, okay. It's not the Sabbath. Moses cried unto Yehovah and said, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And, you know, a lot of people, they just want to, like these people, a lot of them, why, you know, I have no idea why they want to keep going back to Egypt. Why do you want to keep going back to your old life? Why do you keep wanting to go back to your old places? I have no idea. There's so many yells out of the pages to me. Like, why do you want to go back to your old way you were? Some people just like to do that, and it still doesn't prosper them, doesn't it? It's not to their advantage. Verse 5, and Jehovah said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take it in thy hand, and go, and go. Behold, I will stand there, I will stand before thee there on the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the children of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted Jehovah, saying, is Jehovah among us or not? Well, that's probably an interesting question to wonder. Is Jehovah among us or not? But we see things happen in our congregation. You know, I'll give a study and the other people said they read it all night long and it's of the Lord. And I think, wow, that's sort of that's miraculous to me. It's no little thing, because I don't even know what I'm doing to study on sometimes, most of the time. But here's Apostle Saul instructs the Corinthians. Corinthians were sort of an obstinate group. Is it a little warm in here? It's getting hot in here. Yeah, it feels a little warm. But I mean, everyone else is warm too. So, 1 Corinthians says, huh? Why not? Can't turn it on over there? Oh, how about the one over there? or lower it or something. Moreover, brethren, this is a letter to the Corinthians that Paul had to write. His name is Saul. And they were a very obstinate group, you know. Pretty terrible little group here. He says, moreover, brother, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He's talking about, you know, what took place in the Red Sea there. And all did eat all the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And believe it or not, that rock was Messiah. And that was back in the time of Moses and also time of Genesis. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. I don't think so. You know why? Because they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know, this little wilderness known as our lifespan, there's going to be lumps and bumps and things go wrong and things happen, but God will deliver us out of all of them. So we have to make sure you're faithful. These things were our examples. That's what he tells the Corinthians. The things that happened to them, which is really strange, because the things that happened to the time of Moses were an example to the Corinthians, and now the things that happened to Moses and the Corinthians are examples to us, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You might go, well, I don't lust. Well, lust takes in a lot of different thoughts. You'd have to think that over. And then, of course, there's the mixed multitude that were among you. It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? You know, I always notice, like these people that follow other people. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the pit. So you got to make sure, follow everyone that's of God. Don't pick and choose who you're following. Follow people that you know that are not going to steer you wrong. But these people, you know, the children of Israel follow the mixed multitude. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt freely when we were slaves and they were beating us. They made our lives cruel bondage. I forgot that. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Everybody likes garlic. And our soul now is just dried away, and there's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Yeah. Could you imagine saying that to God? They just don't know who God is. Like I always tell people, we're not afraid of the make-believe God. We're worried about the one who drowned the world. We're worried about the one who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the other cities round about them. That's the one I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about little sweet Jesus petting lambs. I'm thinking about God who gets upset. When he gets upset, it's a lot different than when we get upset. Back to the letter to the Corinthians. He's actually telling this to the, picture writing this to brothers and sisters. He's telling them to the Corinthians, don't be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So then we go to Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, and the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't even know what's become of him. Where'd he go? And Aaron said unto them, because he got scared, which you're not supposed to do, he said, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, the earrings that are in your sons and the daughters, and bring them unto me. I guess they were copying the Egyptians. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them of their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. He went out of his way and carved a little calf. And after he had made it a molten calf, this thing, he went out of his way, got all this gold and stuff from them. He actually made it because he was so out of it. Talk about being out of the spirit. That's way out of the spirit. says he says they said these be thy they said these be your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And then Aaron went and built an altar. He built an altar before it. Can you believe that? I'm surprised God didn't just strike him dead there. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yehovah. That is, he must have been something that we can't understand, like in his heart, that God knew the way he really was and what took place there with the fright of a million people threatening to rip you to pieces. Who knows? I mean, I really don't know. And they rose up early on the morrow and they offered burnt offerings to the stupid calf and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and rose up, sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Whatever, that's in the bad way. And that was in the letter to the Corinthians. Paul was reciting that to the Corinthians. Then he says, neither let us commit fornication. He has to tell this to the Corinthians. Don't commit fornication, which is having sexual relations with someone when you're not married, as some of them also committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Now, I remember only seeing one, in my life, I only seen, I think, one guy die or was dead in front of me. I remember I was in New York. I was walking and somebody had jumped off the one of the buildings. And around the building, there was the fence, the spikes, and all he was like this. And I thought, that's the only person I ever said, but I'm just trying to show you, that's the only person I ever seen dead. But this is, they seen 23 people die. 23,000. Can't even imagine that. Can't imagine that. Then he has to write to them and say, let us not tempt Messiah. Some of them also tempted and would destroy the serpents. Remember that?
Yeah.
Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Numbers chapter 11 says, when the people complained, it displeased Jehovah. And Jehovah heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of Jehovah burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, Aaron means before it was chewed, the wrath of Jehovah was kindled against the people, and Jehovah smote the people with a very great plague. So this is the kind of God I'm worried about. I'm worried about that God that doesn't think everything's cute and funny. He might just smite you, which wouldn't be funny. He can give us a plague, or he can do anything to us. Now, all these things, can you imagine this? All these things happen unto them for examples. And they're written for our admonition, for our correction, that we should, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Anyway, then Paul has to tell these people, and you know, the same thing I say, wherefore let anyone think that they stand, take heed lest you fall. It's not that hard to fall away. Satan's very tricky, very cunning. But this is really important to remember. Like I was saying earlier, there's no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to mankind. But God is faithful, who has not suffered you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's nice to know, huh? So you'll be able to bear anything that comes at you. Just have to fight the devil, because the devil can make you think you're thinking something and you're not even thinking it. I gave that study a long time ago. There's only a few kind of thoughts that go through your mind. There's godly thoughts. There's thoughts of, I don't know, this Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He tries to come and convince you of things. So you got to be careful what you're really thinking. I mean, there's regular thoughts, you know, whatever you do. But what I'm trying to say is you got to make sure you don't fall for Satan. Because he doesn't come as, hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to trick you. Yeah. He comes as just a thought or a feeling or an emotion or some kind of weirdo thing that, wait a minute, why am I even having this or thinking this? That's what you should do. Why is this even happening to me? Get away, you know. That's what you should do instead of go along with the program, his Satan's program. He says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from falling. He has to write this to the Corinthians. My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. What were they doing there? The book of Numbers says, because all the men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me, God says, not Moses, they tempted me, now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. And so we don't want to provoke the Lord. I just go along with the program. Like today, you know, Carrie and I were thinking about staying home for the Sabbath and just having the Sabbath on the internet, just like we do here. And we thought, because we looked at the weather, and it looked like there was going to be a torrential flood, like the hurricane was coming. And then after many different things that took place, I just said, wait a minute, this is not our personality. Let's just go. That's a wrong decision. That was a wrong thought. And here we are. Still hasn't rained.
That's true.
That's because Satan tries to stop us, tries to hinder us with thoughts, tries to hinder us with like innocent little things that you don't even know it's Satan until you realize, wait a minute, even the devils out there are zealous for jogging today, riding their bikes like maniacs through the thing. I mean, they got zeal and diligence to do that. It takes a lot of effort to get out there and try to ride up hills in the little drizzle that was happening. How much more shall we? Anyway, in the letter to the Philippians, Paul says, do all things. Paul sounds like Moses. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. He has to say that to the Philippians. So don't think that whatever happens in our little congregation, it happened a lot of times in the other congregations too. Paul has to write to them and said, would you guys do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you are supposed to shine as lights in the world? So a lot of stuff you read in the letters, try to take them for what's really being said. This is not a long study today, but I just wanted to show you that, believe it or not, after triumphing gloriously, as it's put, you never know what's going to take place these 7 weeks. We have 7 weeks. So I'm ready. I'm always, anticipating who knows what's going to happen. I hope some good things happen. Pray along with me that God will open door for souls and for avenues to have a this thing. I've seen some places that there's 6 or 8 people looking for Torah-minded people. I'm going to try to round them up. So who knows? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to try my best. Anyway, in closing, just remember the Feast of Weeks is coming, which is at this moment in time. At that point, it was the giving of the Torah, and then it was the giving of the Holy Spirit, and that's known as Pentecost, 50 days, and that's June 16th in 2019, if we're alive at that point. This is May, April, May, June, next month. So, forget not the God's mighty signs and miracles and deliverances. I mean, it's really really is amazing. I think about even my family. I'm the only one that was picked out of my family to do this. Why me? I don't have no idea. I probably wouldn't have picked me. You might have to think that to yourself. How many people in your family were picked to even serve the living God? And why? There must be something God sees or wants us to do or achieve. Don't do any of these things below, physically or spiritually. Don't murmur or complain. I've heard in the last 18 years, well, I've heard people complain about everything. Don't lust. That's physically or spiritually. Some people are envious what other people have, and they don't have it. Don't be an idolater. spiritually or physically. Don't commit fornication spiritually or physically. You could do that spiritually too. Interacting with false thoughts, false doctrines, listening to Satan's voice instead of God's. And let us not tempt Messiah. Yeah. Like, why are we here, God? What do we have? I mean, I can go, seriously, I'm from Manhattan, New York. I could say, what am I doing in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee? Can't we have a ministry right in Manhattan, man, with all the people? What am I doing here? See, that would be murmuring and complaining. Anyway, so all I can say is watch the mixed multitude that may try to sneak in among you to pollute you or your group or your congregation or just you with false doctrines and their false ways. People's false ways can try to creep into you. Just like during the feast, you know, there was some little false ways trying to spring up, but I had to duck that out because they can creep on someone else. You know, we're here, we're in this all together, everybody. Anyway, I hope to see you, whoever's around, if you feel like showing up. Monday evening, we're gonna meet, I hope, to bring in the new month called Ziph. And the second month of God, which means brightness. And it really is. Tennessee, I was looking at today coming here. Everything is bloomed. Boy, the trees, everything's getting so thick. It is so thick. Gosh, I feel like I'm in the jungle. If you come on the trace, it's really thick. You feel like... Anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Shabbat. May God bless the rest of this day and... May God always make us remember your words, Father. We read your word and let it sink deep in our hearts. Help us in every endeavor. Help us with every decision. Help us with every discernment. Help us with every reasoning that we need to reason out in this life. And may God bless you today and be with you, encourage you. May God strengthen you. And I just thank God for godly counsel and for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. May God always bring us back together again soon to worship you in spirit and truth. And may God give us love for each and every one of us. Each, pray for me and I'll pray for you. And may God always help us in our lives. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. And that's today's study. And I'll stop that. Let me stop the...